Carroll versus City of Muncie, Mr. Margolis. Margolis.
Your Honor, this is a case where it's an appeal from a summary judgment adverse to Mr. Carroll in a 1983, 85, and 86 action brought by the City of Muncie and the City of Muncie Sanitary District. The issue here is that Mr. Carroll, there were summary judgments filed by both parties, and the district court granted the summary judgment for the City of Muncie Sanitary District. Under the controlling law, the burden has the proof to show that there's a genuine issue of material fact where there's presumption for the non-moving party. What's happened in the district court is that the district court accepted all the appellee's submissions and calling the record undisputed. To contradict that and to show a genuine dispute of material fact, there were those contradictions and variations from Bobby Smith himself, who they relied on to make their case. He executed an affidavit in February 2001, and he gave testimony in an unemployment hearing in 1999-2000. He expressly stated contradictory parties who were involved in the decision to terminate Mr. Carroll. Furthermore, there were interrogatories from James Hendershot where he was asked who was involved in the decision to terminate Mr. Carroll, and he contradicted Mr. Smith in this. The third, and I believe a very significant and salient issue, is that the reason Mr. Carroll was fired was because unauthorized use of equipment. The problem is that the work rule was on the books, but it was never defined. And as the appellee said that the work rule was an obscure and little enforced rule. This tire policy, which is referred to, there was no tire policy. There were witnesses submitted in the unemployment hearing which testified that they were unaware of policies regarding tires, about prohibited in the collection of refuse, even if it's on a special project, as it was at this time. I believe that this case is such that the district court improperly granted summary judgment because there is a genuine dispute of material fact, and where you establish the 1983, then the 1985, and the 1986 kicks in. And I believe that the district court's decision was wrong. I would request that be reversed and remanded. And unless the court has questions, I'll sit down.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Margolin. Mr. Sergin?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court and counsel. Until November 11th of 1999, Dan Carroll was employed by the City of Muncie, Indiana Sanitary District driving a garbage truck. He was an at-will employee. He was also a Democrat. Beginning in January of 1996, the mayor of the City of Muncie was a Republican by the name of Dan Cannon. In 1999, Mayor Cannon was running for re-election, and his Democrat opponent was a man by the name of Jigger Smith. Mr. Carroll openly and actively for at least a year supported Jigger Smith. So did Mr. Carroll's supervisor, Bobby Smith, who in addition to being Jigger Smith's cousin, was also on Jigger Smith's campaign committee. So did Rex Smith, who was the brother of Jigger Smith, and like Mr. Carroll, was employed by the City of Muncie Sanitary District. Somebody commented to me while this case was pending in the trial court that if Mayor Cannon had fired every sanitation worker who supported Jigger Smith, there wouldn't have been anybody left to pick up the trash except the mayor himself. The sole issue in this appeal is whether or not Mr. Terrell has presented evidence that his political activity was a substantial motivating factor in his termination. And because Mr. Terrell takes the cynical view of politics, he overlooks the fact that the very man who fired him was engaged in precisely the same political activity on behalf of exactly the same candidate as was he. And he overlooks the fact that two of Jigger Smith's relatives continued to work for the sanitary district without adverse consequences despite their political activity on behalf of Jigger Smith. And he overlooks the fact that Mayor Cannon was not even aware of his termination until well after it occurred. He focuses instead on the timing of his termination, which he views as suspicious. And he views it as suspicious because it occurred 9 days after Mayor Cannon won re-election. And he views it as suspicious because it occurred 12 days after Mr. Terrell was accused of misusing city equipment. But of course, timing is not direct evidence that his political activity was a substantial motivating factor in his termination. He has to have, in order for it to be of any benefit to him, there has to be a permissible inference that this timing, or that his political activity, I should say, was a substantial motivating factor. In case after case, this court, in cases such as O'Connor versus the Chicago Transit Authority, Stagman versus Ryan, and others we cited in our brief, this court has held that timing alone will not support such an inference.
Do any of Cannon's relatives work for Muncie?
I'm sorry?
Do any of Cannon's relatives work for Muncie?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor.
He may have a rule. If you're a relative of the opponent, you can keep your job. But Terrell had no excuse, right? He's not related to Smith.
Well, you know, he's not. As far as I know, he's not related to either Mayor Cannon or to the opponent, Jigger Smith. But what the cases say is that there has to be something more than just timing in order to establish the absolutely necessary causal link between the protected activity and the termination. And his failure to show that causal link exists is simply fatal to his case. He has shown nothing but the timing, and in fact there is something else in this case, and that something else is that he was accused of misusing city equipment. It also consists of the fact that an investigation occurred that concluded that those allegations were credible. And so that something else that is there actually refutes any kind of inference that the causal link exists rather than supporting it. And because he has been unable to show anything other than this timing, there simply is not any reasonable or permissible inference that his political activity caused his termination, and because of that, his 1983 case must fail. And with that failure, the rest of his case, which is built on sections 1985 and 1986, also falls with it. And for that reason, we would ask that the court affirm the trial court.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Green. Mr. Margolis, how much time do you have? 6 minutes? Hmm?
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to make some very, very quick points to this court. Number one, this goes more than a timing issue. First and foremost, and most pivotal to this, what the appellee did in this particular situation, the information which was cited by counsel came from Bobby Smith. This was the same Bobby Smith who gave two different variations in two different times on at least one material point, to wit his February 20, 2001 affidavit and his testimony and the unemployment hearing. Number two, this is not a situation of being suspicious timing. What it comes down to, or at least partly, is that the work rules of the City of Muncie Sanitary District, while they specifically cite unauthorized use of a vehicle as a violation, A, it is not defined as I said before, but that calls for immediate termination. They waited give or take 9 days before they acted against him. They had him work one full week before they terminated him. And that is a problem which I believe more properly can be ferreted out in a trial before a jury. Number three, Your Honor. The appellee argues inconsistently, in my opinion. They number one argue that Mr. Terrell wasn't an employee at will, but then they say that the decision here with regard to this political activity, that there's a failure to show that this was a substantial motivating factor. I don't believe that the appellee can have it both ways. And this issue comes down to the point where they rely on Mr. Smith. He showed that he was unable to put forth a consistent statement of facts. And I repeat that even James Hendershot, who he acknowledged in his affidavit was consulted, contradicts him with regard to how the decision was made. And I submit that this is properly a case for a trier of fact. And unless the court has questions, I'll stop.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Margolis. Thank you to both counsel. Next case for argument is